This is the Ron Barry Show, and I am Ron Barry, and you know who you are. I've got six guests today on the show, something that's very unusual for this type of a thing. My guests are Grayson Hall, who plays Julia Hoffman on Dark Shadows, and Bob Rodan, who plays Adam, Humbert Allen Ostrado, who plays Nicholas Blair, and Roger Davis, who plays Jeff Clark and Peter Bradford, and Jonathan Frid, and a gentleman who I have really not had the pleasure of meeting. Why don't you give us a little bit about yourself, sir, especially your name? I think that's most important.
This is Don Briscoe, and I play Tom Jennings on Dark Shadows. I'm the apprentice vampire.
The apprentice. You people are all going to blow your images for being very serious. That's right. The first thing I would like to ask each of you, and well, I think the easiest way is to just pass the mic, and I won't do any talking, and you just do all of it. For those of you who haven't seen the show Dark Shadows, there aren't a lot of people, but for those of you listening who haven't seen Dark Shadows, I will ask each of our guests to give us a brief description of their particular role in the play. And ladies first, and our only lady guest today, Grayson Hall, Dr. Julia Hoffman.
Well, I'm a doctor. I'm a terribly efficient doctor. I can do anything from hypnotizing people to doing blood research to doing brain surgery. And analyzing people, too. I guess I'm an all-around doctor, like your small-town general practitioner.
All right. Now, yes, you are. Bob Rodan is a comparatively... Robert Rodan? You prefer Robert. Okay.
Oh, my.
Robert Rodan, give us a brief description of Adam.
Brief?
Plays the Boris Karloff part.
All I know is I'm trying to be human. And I'm having a very difficult time at it. What am I doing on Dark Shadows? Well, anyway, first of all, I think I'm keeping Barnabas from being a vampire. I hope he enjoys that. Pardon? How was I created? Oh, that gets very involved. Dr. Hoffman, who is our all-around doctor, made me, and with the help of Barnabas Collins.
I brought in an arm once.
And, oh, yes, and Jeff brought in an arm once.
I need your left arm.
My left arm.
Oh, it's your right arm. I can see it now.
It's my right arm?
It's definitely your right arm.
You're sure now?
Did you ever get the feeling you were losing control of your show? Humbert Allen Ostrado, another comparatively new character. Are you or are you not the devil? I haven't really made up my mind. Are you the devil or are you just an everyday warlock?
I play the Walter Houston part. And no, that's a favorite question. And I answered by saying that I'm kind of a 007 of the underworld. I have the territory east of the Rockies, which includes Collinsport. And we're trying to organize all the witches in the area and sort of devils and what have you, and create a master race, which, of course, Adam will be the father of.
Yes, I will.
Look at this. Adam finally learned to talk, and he's doing dialects already, right? And Roger Davis, we're going to get to your movie a little later. Who is Jeff Clark? Is Jeff Clark Jeff Clark, or is Jeff Clark a man from the past named Peter Bradford?
Jeff Clark began many years ago. I hate to spoil it, but I suppose that for most people, they're beginning to gather that the Jeff Clark is probably Peter Bradford. And I think as the next few... Well, I think in the next two or three weeks or so, I begin to really discover that I'm absolutely from 200 years in the past, and what the problems will be when I find out that I'm Peter Bradford. Well, we'll see. I don't know what they're, you know.
All right. Now, Jonathan Frid was with us once before. to give us an in-depth study of Barnabas Collins. So, and since I think, after watching the show for as long as I've been watching, that Barnabas really is the most involved character as far as different facets to his character. Jonathan, can you give a brief description of Barnabas?
Well, at one time I used to do one simple thing, that is, I sucked blood for a living. But since then, thank you, dear. Dr. Hoffman over there saved me, and along with Dr. Lang, and so now I don't know quite what I'm doing at this point, to tell you the honest truth. Who's got some ideas?
This could be a rather involved question, but I know your time is limited, and as a matter of fact... Yeah, Roger, are you trying to...
Always loved Pennsylvania, especially Easton. I want to say hello to all my friends and my cousin in Easton, Pennsylvania, who...
Don't put me on, Roger. Listen, here's the next... let's get serious, folks. What do you think is the main appeal... seriously, the main appeal of Dark Shadows? Let's start with Don.
I think it's the most fun of anything around on television. The people are just fantastic to work with, and one gets a chance to do things outside of oneself quite a lot. I mean, how often are you going to do something, you know, a 20 or 30s movie? And it's great. I'm happy with it. I play a small-town handyman who makes the big time by becoming a vampire. So we'll see what happens. That's the coming mystery, what kind of vampire it's going to be.
What kind of vampire?
Yeah. Jonathan, how about you? What do you think the main appeal of Dark Shadow is?
It's very spooky and... it's, we, like today, as a matter of fact, that show we did today, it was kind of a fun show for me. There was sort of the shades of the vampire again, even though I'm not, but I sort of felt it. And that's the fun of it for me, is, you know, playing these sort of horrendous situations, you know, with dogs howling and so forth and so on. And I haven't done this in ages. I'm just getting a little bored.
Beautiful.
Yes, that's Adam. Adam Hurt. Roger?
Well, I think it should be said...
Keep it down to a half hour.
All right, I think it should be said that really Dark Shadows isn't a soap opera. I mean, it's really a nighttime show. It's a show that should be seen at midnight, really, to be fully appreciated. It's a wild thing, and for any of the actors, for any of us who's gotten an opportunity to be on here, it's rewarding from the standpoint that you're not... as most soaps, you have very set stories that stay on for weeks on end, and on this show it changes constantly. We have like 39 or 40 or how many is it, Jonathan? Lots of permanent sets, many, many sets, and we can go outside, inside, and you can...
I think about 50 or 60 seemingly different sets, but some of them are...
I have a serious comment to make.
That was a serious...
No, I have a serious comment to make. I think part of the appeal of the show mm-hmm. has to do with death. And I think it's a fairly classic thing that everybody, children as well as older people, are fascinated and frightened of death. And I think on this show, when you see somebody dead, who's been dead for 200 years, who sleeps in a coffin, who gets up and lives, even by night, I think from an absolutely psychological point of view, I think it's a very true thing, that is really the basis of its fascination.
So there.
Okay, how about you, Humbert?
I'm inclined to agree with that, because I think that we've been saturated with science fiction, which is an escape, and we've gotten to the point where it's become so real we're going out into the other planets, and we're just getting back to basics, you might say, you know.
I would like to say something.
Who are you?
Particular. I'm Robert Rodin. I've received in the past a number of pieces of fan mail with a very similar statement, in fact, and I never thought of it this way, and then I stopped and seems it's quite valid. Many people have said something to the effect that with all the reality that they see today on television and in all different media, in relation to, unfortunately, things like the Vietnam War and political assassinations and all the other unfortunate things of reality that go on, they make statements to the effect that it is a pleasure to see something that is such a fantasy, which one can enjoy, as opposed to all the other things that are coming into our heads from all other areas. Jonathan?
You and Grayson seem to be at opposite ends of the pole, which is interesting. Grayson was implying that we were dealing with the most fundamental thing, well, the most fundamental reality. That is what we all have to face in the end. And yet, there's a lot of people, as you say, I myself have thought of it as a fantasy. I think Grayson's point is most interesting, though. You know, really, we're getting down to the most, unfortunately, but the most fundamental thing about life is death.
I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I'm never going to die.
You're not it.
No, I'm not.
No.
Have you read the script coming up next week?
Since Dark Shadows, I would not consider it a soap opera myself, because as Roger said, there are things happening all the time on the show. Jonathan, let's start with you. What do you think is the basic appeal of the soap opera in general? Not Dark Shadows, but just daytime television dramas.
Well, I suppose I don't have anything too original to say about that, although since I've been on this show, I've become much more aware of soap operas than ever before, and it is definitely a very strong thing in American culture, if you will. I mean, you know, culture in the general sense. I mean, certainly it is millions and millions of people watch these things every day, all day long. So, you know, there's something going. And I suppose for a lot of people, it's just they like to think that somebody outside of their own living room has got problems too. So I think it's pretty much that.
Roger?
Oh, I suppose it's the old story of identification. People have very strong feelings of identification with characters on soaps, and they also apparently have free time in the afternoons that that they fill up, or they're ironing or whatever. And they watch these, and most of them, I think, up until Dark Shadows, had a straight format. There was one, you know, a very corny kind of love story that was played out for years, and this person got involved with this person, and Dark Shadows went into the great beyond. As a matter of fact, maybe someone can clarify this. I've heard stories since I came on the show in January, after finishing a play in New York. Just wanted to add
that.
What's the name of it? My Fair Lady did it for 9 years, and just finished it in London. No, I heard that Dan Curtis, the producer of this show, had a dream, and this dream was of Dark Shadows, and he went to the networks and sold it. Is that true? That Dark Shadows was originally conceived in a dream? And
I have no idea. The only thing that
wild
I
thing.
The only thing
no.
that I've,
are you trying? No, I just wanted no,
no. The only thing that I've ever heard having anything to do with a dream was a gentleman named Willis O'Brien had a dream in about 1930 of a story about a bunch of men who come to an island and capture a giant ape. But he produced that independently, and it became King Kong. But that supposedly was a dream.
Really, Jonathan, is that true?
Yes. He had a dream about this governess coming to this mansion. But Grayson probably has more background on that.
You dreamed of Grayson?
No. Grayson, what was the story on that?
The story is that Dan did have, in fact, a dream, and I suppose I'm qualified, I suppose, since my husband is one of the writers. Yay, Sam! That was Roger Davis, in case anybody didn't know. Dan did apparently have a dream, and got a writer named Art Wallace to turn it into dramatic form, and then sold it to ABC. I don't think that Dan, he dreamed about a governess coming. It was kind of a gothic story of a governess coming to a large house. He didn't dream the vampire. I think that just happened because of Dan's particular genius for spook and for finding, you know, frightening things. And I think he does indeed have a genius for it.
I must say that something that has nothing to do with Dark Shadows, but that was just on recently on ABC, was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Jack Palance, which was just great.
Now, let me tell you that I know, for example, that the moment when Jack Palance took the sword and ran it up the man's nose was Dan's idea. That is what I mean by his kind of genius. You know, I mean, he was the one that thought of that particular spook.
Jonathan?
Did I tell you the last time I was on about how the old house came into the story? It's kind of interesting. Up and when they were up in Tarrytown, up the Hudson River from New York, they were filming some outdoor shots before the show actually started on the air, way back a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And they were taking film shots of some gothic mansion up there, and during a break, or when they were waiting for the sun to come out or something, Dan went for a walk in the woods and came across this colonial mansion, which is the old house with the pillars. And he just came upon it and thought it was very spooky. And I've been up there myself, as a matter of fact, that it is a very, very spooky house. The doors are flapping in the wind. No one's taking care of it or anything else. You know, and so anyway, he said, this is a fantastic house. We've got to get the crew over here. So we went back to the other location through the woods, got the cameras and everything, and they went over, and he didn't know what was going to happen, but he wanted shots of this house. And so they got all these shots, and he went back home and thought, well, now, what am I going to do with this house? And so he did a story that apparently the old house was in the show before I came on it a couple of times. But, you know, how important it is now to the show, and none of this would ever have happened if he hadn't gone for that walk in the woods because he was bored but waiting for cameras.
Humbert, to get back to the question of...
The question.
What do you think of soap operas in general? What do you think is the appeal?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think one of the appeals that this show has, Dark Shadows, over other soap operas, is that it's extremely sensual. Can I talk about this? It has sex appeal, and I don't think most soap operas do. They're diversions, and they're about everyday people and everyday situations, and they may be interesting situations. But
explain
this,
yourself.
Well, this show has people running around biting other people on the neck and sucking out their blood, you know? And I mean, that's close physical contact, and it really has a...
Very interesting.
I know, I watch it all the time.
To continue with that, Ron, there's a movie of Dark Shadows being planned.
Is there really?
Yes, it's in the works, I think. At least it's to some stage or other at this point. And something that people can look forward to. There's a paperback, Barnabas Collins, out now, which is kind of...
Sixth volume, I think. Yes. And it's not the one with my picture on the cover. There's another one coming out. It should be out at the end of this month.
Well,
that's it, huh? Look at this. Roger Davis is at a loss for words. Do you believe it? Robert Rodin, what do you think of the soap opera? I'm not saying this soap opera, because I don't like to call this a soap opera, but what's the appeal?
I find it very difficult to add more than what has been said, actually. But I think that it would very possibly be something to the effect, not only for people to identify with similar problems, but I think even more so to identify with problems greater than their own. Because I think many times people tend to feel that they are the only one who have a problem, or their problems are bigger than others. And seeing many of the things, especially now, the few times that I get the opportunity to peek in on another soap opera, and my God, the areas they're getting into in terms of reality with marital problems and sexual problems and one thing and another, they would be probably considerably larger than what most people experience. And I think this is something that they like to see, to To feel better about themselves, possibly.
You speak very well for a man who just learned how to talk. Jonathan, you wanted to say something.
I think it's very simple. Everybody likes a good story, really. And it's there used to be a time when every town in this country, including my hometown, Hamilton, Ontario, which is now a city of 300,000, but it's 50, 60 years ago, it only had about 90,000 people. They had four legitimate theaters. We don't have legitimate theaters all over the country anymore. It's been replaced by electronics, and we're part of this whole business of electronics. But before this happened, the soaps were done in the theaters. And they had lots of matinees. The ladies liked this story.
Grayson, yes.
I think there's another point to be made, and that is that sure, the ladies like the stories, but I do think everybody kind of gets hooked on the story and has to watch it every day. You know, I can speak for my mother-in-law in Ohio, and I'm from Philadelphia, which is Pennsylvania.
Well, we go into Philadelphia.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ah, well, that's very nice. But,
I knew you'd be all choked up about that.
It grabs me.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, right. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, ladies and gentlemen. No. Yes, I've gotten hooked. I have to do it every day. So, I just like to say that I like Dark Shadows. It's just so much fun to do this. Ron, take the microphone away from me because I love it.
I was going to add my own opinion on this thing, and Jonathan just about covered it. They were doing soaps in theaters, and then a gentleman named Edison came along, and in around 1913 or 14 or 15,
The Wizard of Menlo Park.
Yes, Edison. The Perils of Pauline and The Clutching Hand and... serials have been very big since, I think, the entertainment business began.
They used to get me back on the movies when I was a kid, you know, with Tarzan and all the weekly serials. No, I was like 5 years old, apparently. As a matter of fact, the big cliffhanger for me, my brother used to play Tarzan around the house. He said when I was 21, he'd take me down the basement and take me to that secret passage. It would take me to the jungles, you know, that bit. But, I think that... that everybody, you know, is hung up by a cliffhanger. Hung up by a cliffhanger. Very good.
I have one final question to ask the group. And I think I have an idea that all the reactions and all the answers are going to be the same. But I want to find out anyway. When you have time, when you're not working on this particular show, do you watch it?
Yes. I think the answer is all the same. Yes, I think we all watch it when we think we're on. If we're not on, we don't watch it.
You see, now that's not an answer that I would have expected. Jonathan, do you watch the show when you're not on?
I've watched it once or twice when I'm not on.
Robert Rodin.
I watched it once or twice before I came on, just to see what was going on.
Humbert?
Yes, I watch it all the time.
I've never seen the show, Ron.
Maybe that's why I could never get on the show, is because I watch it all the time. Jonathan.
It's very confusing, as a matter of fact, if we watch it, because, you know, it's what we see on the air is a week or so after the shows we're taping, and we get so confused and we're watching what's on the air. I don't know what's happened before or after. You know, it's very, very confusing.
Well, I can see why you wouldn't watch it then. All right. I want to thank all you people. This has been, I don't know how enlightening it's been, but it certainly has been interesting and fun. Grayson Hall, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was delightful.
Robert Rodin.
Thank you, Ron.
Humbert.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be, you're really the big heavy now, aren't you?
Ah.
Oh, see, boy, you really live the part, don't you? Okay, and Roger Davis, you want to talk briefly about your movie?
No.
Good, because we're out of time. No, just...
I have a movie coming out.
You had your chance, you know.
At Christmas time called Parachute to Paradise, which is... it's hard to say. It's going to be a good movie, I think. And I want to say thank you to everybody. And listen, goodbye, Cousin Mary.
Invite me to the screening.
I think I might have a movie coming out soon called Squeeze Play.
Oh, yeah?
It's Robert Rodin.
Yeah. All right.
Grayson was in a movie called...
I have a movie coming out called Qui êtes-vous, Polymagou, which I did in French. in Paris, and it hasn't been released here yet, although it's been released all over the world.
And Hummert has a movie coming out called...
I have a movie coming out that you can see in your local Penny Arcade.
And Jonathan...
I'll be on Dark Shadows forever.
Jonathan, believe me, will be the star of the movie Dark Shadows for sure, right?
Yay!
Well, listen, does everybody has a movie except Jonathan and Humbert, right? Is that right? Listen, I don't have a movie. All I've got is a radio show, Humbert. Any plans, John? Well, we'll talk about that some other time. Listen, I know you all have to go, and I do want to thank all of you for taking some time out to... You blew your images, but that's okay. Grayson is a very funny lady, and Robert Rodin can talk.
Listen, where else could I play a doctor in love with a vampire? Come on.
Right. That's true. That's true. Robert Rodin, I know now, can actually speak a few words of English. And Humbert is a nice guy, no matter what anybody says, Cassandra. Yeah, Roger.
Just one last thing I just wanted to say, and I'm sure that I'm speaking for everybody, especially Grayson. The reason that we're on soaps in New York is that we're actors in New York, and we like to do plays, and we like to be in the city. And there are other things that come up, and we have an opportunity while doing the soap to also do those other things. We can get leaves of absence, and we can also do shows at night, of course, plays. And this is pretty great.
Now, I think the point that Roger is making, and that I do agree with, is that if you are an actor, there are two places to work. One is New York, and the other is Hollywood. And if you choose to live in New York, there are just two things you can do. You can either be in a play, which will open and close quickly, or you can... Or you can do something like this, and there's precious little else that you can do, and we're all very lucky and grateful to be in this situation.
What Grayson is actually saying is since we've chosen to live in New York, we are basically play actors.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Why am I the only one who ever...
I'll try to think that one over. And Jonathan, thank you for joining us again.
Well, thank you for asking me again.